Music performed in Prague last week by Gary Lucas to accompany a screening of a cult 1930s horror movie known as Spanish Dracula. Described by Rolling Stone as one of the best and most original guitarists in America, Lucas also did a show reviving the Ghosts of Prague, an LP he recorded here in 1996 with local band Urfaust. The musician, perhaps best known for his work with Captain Beefheart and Jeff Buckley, has a long association with the city and with Czech music. What's more, Lucas has roots in this part of the world.
My grandfather on my father's side was from Bohemia, and I love to come to the Czech Republic to play. Really, it's like coming home for me. And I have been coming here since 93, when I played at the Reduta Jazz Club. And that was with another film. I was playing with the German silent film, The Golem. And since then, I remember I came back and did three nights at the Roxy with The Golem that summer of 94. And then made a record here called The Ghosts of Prague. Did a very extensive tour all over in places like Lito Moritz, Hradec Králové, you know, you name it, Brno.
That's got to be unusual for a touring, visiting artist to play in these small towns. How was that?
Oh, I loved it. I'm not a snob. In fact, one of the best gigs of my life was in the town of Kolín, which also had a very mystical outcome. It's very eerie. I get a vibe in the Czech Republic that I don't get in any other country that I perform in, and I've played in over 40 countries around the world, not just in Europe, but also in China and Japan, India, Australia.
What is the Czech vibe?
It's a supernatural vibe. There's a mystical quality, and particularly around Prague and the immediate vicinity. I just love the atmosphere. I can really feel ghosts in the air. I'm very sensitive to this.
If we could rewind slightly to your grandfather, do you know whereabouts in Bohemia he lived?
Well, no, this is still a mystery. I hope it was, someplace near Prague. But the fact is he abandoned my father and his mother, my grandmother, when my dad was 4 years old. And so they tried to wipe his memory out of the family record, really. He never spoke to him after this.
But Lucas wasn't the family name originally.
Right, the family name is Lichtenstein. So I understand that's a Czech name. And they have a Lichtenstein palace, even I'm told. Although when I was asked about this, I did a morning show called Breakfast with Nova back in the 90s. And they asked me about this. They said, you must be a blue blood. I guess it was an aristocratic name, but I make no pretension to that. When I cut myself shaving, it's red blood, I can tell you.
In this country, people, especially musicians and alternative musicians, really love Captain Beefheart. And I was wondering if that kind of opened doors for you, or if people really welcomed you here because of the Beefheart connection.
Well, I think it probably helped. You know, I can't deny that I played with them. I got some criticism from critics at once in the UK because the first album that was released under my name in 90, it was called Skeleton at the Feast, came out on a small label, and they put a sticker, ex-Captain Beefheart. So they said, oh, you're trading on the Beefheart name. Well, first of all, it wasn't my idea, but second of all, I'm not ashamed of having played with him because, as far as I'm concerned, anyone who came through the ranks of Beefheart was marked as an exceptional musician.
Why do you think it is that he's so popular here, relatively to other countries?
I'd say because, first of all, the Zappa connection cemented it. Frank is a big hero here and was actually an unofficial trade minister before he died and friends with Havel. Now, I think that the people in the underground, in the Czech underground, who also became Charter 77 supporters, listened a lot in the 60s, you know, to Beefheart and Zappa. And I think that if you talk to bands like the Plastic People, they would acknowledge this influence, you know. They hear this strain in their music. Now, I don't know if there's Eastern European roots with Frank. I don't think so. I think he was Sicilian, basically, and Lebanese. And then as far as Don, he was claimed to be descended from some very historic people, including Wallace Simpson Warfield, the American lesbian who, bisexual, who married the Duke of Windsor, you know, and he was also claimed to be related to Sir Richard Burton, the explorer. Yeah, I was going to say James Burton. No, that's Elvis Presley's guitarist, but you know what I mean.
You're known over your career for playing with many different people and collaborating on many different projects with other people. Who are the Czech artists that you've worked with? I know you mentioned the Plastic People.
Yeah, I love them. And then I've also worked with quite a few of the circle around Richard Mader, who led this great group, Urfaust, and we're sort of recollecting Urfaust on Saturday at Jazz Dock because we're relaunching a record that I did with Richard and his friends in 96 called The Ghosts of Prague. So this includes really fine people like Pavel Ryba, who's great, and Jan Chambal. I don't know how well known they are to you, but to me they're exceptional. Also people like Jana Kubkova, great vocalist, and Mirka Krivankova, one of the finest of avant-garde vocalists.
Also you toured the country with Pavel Zajacek from...
Yeah. How can I forget Pavel? I hope he is coming tonight. DG307, fantastic band. One of the best, and also has great members who also shared with Plastic People like Eva Turnova.
I was reading also that you played at some event in the Czech embassy in Washington in the 2000s, was it?
Yes, in 2000. It was through the auspices of Martin Paloš, the Czech ambassador to the UN at the time, who was my friend and still is my friend. And he invited me to D.C., to do my solo guitar arrangements of Czech classical music. And an album of this has come out on Faust Records, only in the Czech Republic so far. And it's versions of Dvorak, Smetana, Janáček, and also the Plastic People. I rate them as among the Czech classics.
What is it about those Czech composers that appeal to you or appeals to you?
There's a humanity and a melodicism, and I get shivers when I hear this music that I arranged. I love it. I think they took, especially Dvorak, some elements of American spirituals and folk music and blues and blended it with a European, Middle European Czech sensibility.
You mentioned the Golem film that you also did music for. What is the appeal for you of that great Prague legend?
Well, you know, I am Jewish on both sides of the family, and I was raised not really very religiously, I can tell you, but I'm a Reformed Jew, which was the most liberal of the sect of Judaism, and I was always very interested in the mythology of Jewish folklore. And the Golem, as you know, is a significant figure in the Kabbalah. And the idea of the actual historical rabbi, Yehuda Low, making a man of clay, out of clay, in the 15th century in Prague to protect the Jewish community against annihilation really appealed to it pushed some buttons within me. It pushed my Jewish heritage buttons, and it pushed my love of mystical folklore, science fiction, horror films. This is my roots. You know, I started with mythology, Greek, Roman, Norse mythology, and then I discovered a magazine, very tender age. It was called Famous Monsters of Filmland. They had a picture from the Golem in there. And I said, how cool is that, a Jewish Frankenstein monster?
And say, when you've traveled around the country here, or even in Prague, do you check out Jewish sites or Jewish historical monuments or anything like that?
I have, yeah. I've certainly paid a lot of attention to Josefov district, the old Jewish quarter. I've been touring it several times with my family, and the first time I came over here, and I've laid homage messages to Rabbi Low. I've left him little paper messages. I like to visit his grave.
What do you say in the messages?
Oh, may the Golem rise again. Though some people say he's sleeping, you know, in the attic of the Altenu synagogue there. But I'm told that they sent some Arcana magazine from the UK actually did send a reporter with some sort of metal detector or whatever. Didn't find any traces of him, unfortunately. But my brother, who was studying to be a rabbi in Israel, believes that when the Nazis were occupying Prague and entered the Altenu synagogue, they were later discovered torn limb from limb by some demon of supernatural strength, and everyone assumes it must be the golem. Let's hope so. We don't like Nazis.